Father, you please be with us. Give us your wisdom. Give us guidance to do what's best for this college and this community. Thank you for all the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for your hand upon us. Be with us and go with us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, recognition of guests.
I think you know everyone here.
Got all of our normal attendees. Very glad to have you with us. Okay. Okay. This time the board will hear comments and questions from individuals who have not requested a specific place on the agenda and want to address the board. Anyone on to address the board? All right. Okay, we'll go on to our routine matters then. And you'll all have a chance to read those, I assume. And we'll need a motion to approve those.
So moved.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. No unfinished business. So we're going to new business agenda. Item A is visiting and future direction.
All right, Mr. Chairman and board members, I'd like to recommend for your consideration the contract renewals or appointment of the following individuals in the listed administrative positions. Amy Burchett is Executive VP. Brenda Claxton is the Chief Fiscal Officer Controller. Steve Smith is the Chief Business Officer Internal Auditor. Fabian Serrano, Chief Operations and Safety Security Officer. Rhonda Koenig, Chief Human Resources Officer. Eric Hansen, Chief Technology Systems Data Security Officer. Brenda Medore, Chief of Staff Institutional Advancement Officer. Brian Stokes, Chief Institutional Effectiveness Officer. Pam Cowan, Provost San Angelo. Monica Castro, Executive Dean LaMisa. And Jeff Anderson as the Interim Provost at SWIFT.
Okay, any comments or protests against these people being nominated? I'd entertain a motion to approve them then.
Double.
Have a motion, have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you very much. Motion passes.
And let me just tell you, board members, you've got a great cabinet. These people work very hard, and they come with a lot of expertise, and so we're very fortunate to have them. And this will be, I guess, the first time that we will not, in how many years, Danny, that we're not renewing a contract for you, at, either as an administrator or a faculty member?
43.
43, because he will be retiring in May. So a little different. We're not sure how we're going to do it without Danny around, part of our fabric.
It's a very great pleasure to have you. I know that. Okay, COVID-19 response.
Okay, number 35. Mainly what you have in your report this time is really reporting. That's where we are right now, and of course we're working on spending the remaining federal funds, and we'll be telling you more about that in just a bit. But that's all that we have to report today.
Okay, thank you. Okay, schedule and special meetings.
All right. As a part of your board self-evaluation, one of the things that you talked about is that you wanted to try to do some things to get out to the different campuses and have an opportunity to have a meeting. Of course, obviously, as far as regular board meetings, they will be held in Howard County. But in the past, we have had the opportunity during Deaf Awareness Week, we've had our board meeting on the SWID campus. And so that has happened before, but we've never had any kind of a meeting on our San Angelo or LaMisa campuses for the board. And so, again, as a part of your discussion, you wanted to try to make an effort to get out and get to the different campuses and have an opportunity to do that. So some suggestions that I have have shared that as far as our San Angelo campus, we'd like to try to do something in June. We have several things that are happening down in the San Angelo community, and we'd really like to be able to get down there and have a focus. And so we looked at the dates of Tuesday, the 13th of June, Wednesday, the 14th, or Thursday, June 15th. And so is there a special, and y'all may want to look at your calendars and then have us follow up with you to finalize that, but those are the three dates that we're looking at for the San Angelo campus. And that'll give us the opportunity, when we do the spotlight, we can, if we have any resolutions that, and we do resolutions that we'd like to present in the San Angelo community, so we've got those, we've got some students to recognize, we have some, just again, a focus on the campus that we would like to be able to do as a part of these special meetings. So that one, again, 13th, 14th, or 15th, and as soon as y'all, I won't put you on the spot of telling me right now what you want to do. We'll text you afterwards and see what your preferences are, and we'll get a bingo what will work best for everyone. But those are the dates for San Angelo. What we would do, we'd have a meal, it'd be a lunch meeting. We'd do a meal, light lunch at 11:15, have a 12 noon meeting, and then have the business that you want to take care of. It would also give us an opportunity to do some tours campus afterwards. And so as far as your time frame, I think the time allotted, we'd need to leave around 9:45 and probably be back by 3 p.m. That I tried to give you a good
– You said April?
No, that's June.
June.
Yeah, June 13th, 14th, or 15th. So we will text you about that and see which one is the best for everybody. Then we can, for the SWID campus, we can, and we've already gone down the path of looking at Deaf Awareness Week, would be the week of October the 23rd. That would be your regular board meeting. And so that can be a regular board meeting. It's in Howard County, so you can do your regular business there. And but it'll just be on the SWID campus. And so we'll work on that one, so that one taken care of. For the LAMESA meetings, and that would be a special because it would not be your regular business, but it would just be a spotlight on that campus. We're looking at Wednesday, November the 1st, or Thursday, November the 2nd. That one, again, kind of the same format. We need quite as much time, not quite as far. 10 to 2 probably would be the time frame needed on that. And, again, we can text you and you can give us your what's best date after you are able to look at your calendars again. And then for the Big Spring campus focus, because I don't, again, as a part of what we do on a monthly basis, we do a lot of what's on your agenda is district-based. I mean, we will have some things that are individualized to a campus, but for the most part, it is district-based. And so what we would do then for the Big Spring campus focus, thinking the November board meeting, the November regular meeting, which would be Monday, November the 13th, because this year Thanksgiving is on November the 23rd, and y'all have been choosing to go with the week before the Thanksgiving week, and so that would be November the 13th, and so I'm thinking that would be the focus for the Big Spring campus, and we will put those agendas together in such a way that we can focus on those individual campuses and do some work specifically to those, to each one. Okay. So we will we'll text you and we'll find out which is the best one, and at the next board meeting then we can make it official and let everybody know what those dates will be.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank
Okay, don't have anything else for big spring from Houston San Diego SWED, so we'll go on to performance and measures outcome. Access, student success.
All right. Brian's going to give you just a quick little overview of what will be going on with our first ever data summit.
How's everybody doing today?
All right.
I just want to give you all a quick update about what we're doing this coming Friday. We have a data summit this coming Friday in which we're shutting our offices down to the public, and we're getting pretty much a kickoff into a great new way of we're going to start looking at data. You know, we've talked about fifth year and the reaffirmation process, or our fifth year report for SAC. We did that this past year. Well, we're already starting to get ready for the reaffirmation. We have to start getting some of these standards where we look at data, try to improve success, try to improve our learning assessment. And so the best way to do that is get our different departments and units throughout the college to look at various success data, learning assessment data, and our planning units, and start planning accordingly and reviewing what's making our students be successful, what's not, what learning assessments do we need to adjust, and so forth. And so this ties a lot into, again, like our reaffirmation that we're going to be start thinking about now for our SAC EOC. I think it also is going to heavily reflect into legislation when refunding of the community colleges come in. Again, we want to be looking about what makes us successful, how do we improve on that success, and then documenting that success. So we want to continuously improve. So we will be working in different departments and units throughout the day. It's going to be mostly virtual due to the campuses. And I hope that in April I can give you a preliminary report about the data that we're receiving back from our different departments and units and the direction that we're moving in terms of our data, the data that we'll be collecting. Our goal is to do these data summits in each semester. There's a lot of community colleges that are utilizing this type of concept. A lot of our strategy and the way we're proceeding is coming from the San Antonio College, which is an Alamo College, and also Amarillo College and so forth, that are utilizing these data summits to continue to improve and increase. Any questions? Thank you all very much.
Well, you. Okay. Texas Success Center.
All right. Amy and Cindy Smith are going to give you an update on the implementing and scaling 8-week course update.
I really liked how you said that. I didn't even tell Cindy she had to do anything.
Oh, okay. So she's over there working on T-shirts.
Here, I'm going to set this right here. Actually, did I take him this year as well? Because I did tell them to be, I mean, Cindy's always here, but I asked if they would be here.
All right.
Because they are part of we have a leadership team, I go ahead and tell you about that, that meets every Friday. We call it our 8-week implementation team, and that consists of Cindy and Janae Higgins. Janae's not know Janae, but her new title is our Dean of E-Learning and Instructional Design. And Cindy and Janae actually are the lead for our Title V grant that we're doing that ties in with Pathways. So they are in the weeds every day of the details, so I wanted them here for sure in case, and I've told them to interrupt me if I say something wrong or when you have the questions that I can't answer, I know they will. But anyway, I bet, 10 years? As Odessa College was probably one of the first colleges in Texas to look at a shortened format for the majority, if not, you know, of their courses. And I think that was 10 years ago. I meant to look it up. But since that time, the success that they have had, and there are colleges outside of Texas as well that have had great success with this, but other colleges have learned, have researched. We have been looking at this, again, for numerous years. COVID came along well before the pandemic, and we had our other emergency issues, and it just seems like we had not been able to kick this off as early as we wanted. And then the coordinating board also established, I believe it's the odd years that you can apply to have this different format for your state reporting, and so we had to wait till that. So here we are. It's a long time coming. But through the Texas Success, I can't even say that. Texas Success Center and the Pathways Project, you know, we've sent teams of individuals for, 3 years now to different trainings and institutes. And at that, there's been some sessions on the 8-week course model. And then, I guess, a year ago, we jumped on and said we want to be one of the colleges considered for the extensive training. They partnered us with a mentor college, and our mentor college is Grayson. Grayson College, we requested Grayson because they are also, their student information system is CAMS, the one we're moving to. We give you an update every month, and so we thought, well, that would be smart if we could do that to make sure that we align our planning and things with their student information system as they have proven success with it as well. So we have done all that, and just so I probably should make sure, the 8-week course model, we've offered condensed courses for years and years. You have summer school that you teach classes in 5 and 6 weeks time frame.
Came back on short.
There are 3 weeks, believe it or not. So it's not like this is a new concept, but this is a model where the vast majority of our courses will be in an 8-week format. There will be things like in your activity courses like theater. You know, when she's working, those probably won't be 8 weeks because they need to be putting on productions the entire year. So their class, if you will, is rehearsal in the evening, things like that. There will be clinicals. The clinicals for their nursing and as well as other health professions, those will span the entire 16 weeks. So there are certain things that it doesn't make sense or it's not practical or reasonable or wanting to do things because we can't because of other facilities or so forth. But for the majority, students will be full-time over the 16-week session. They may take three courses the first 8-week term and 2 courses the next 8-week term. I'm mad, that's 15 hours. If it's 3 credit hours, that's 15 hours over the full 16 weeks. So that makes sense. That's how it will pan out. And so on your PowerPoint, I forgot we had a PowerPoint, just to kind of go over some things, and this actually, I'll give Cindy full credit for creating the PowerPoint. We presented this at our Pathways Institute in the fall. But the goals for this project, obviously you want to improve time for program completion to students. The data, I know that Brian has shared with you, that's one of our areas that we need improvement. There's improvement to be made on how long it takes a student to finish their certificate or degree. And so to do that, we've had to look at course redesign. We've had to look at the access, the portal redesign, how students access Howard College in general, and then their courses. And then advising, again, Cindy's area, they've done so much to transform advising to make this work in addition to just be better for the students. And then another goal is persistence. You know, we want to improve the persistence from fall to spring, and now from fall to fall, and then retention, students coming back. And if y'all remember some of the data, and I should have brought that, there's another area that we need to make improvements on. So we have been working on improving the tools for monitoring that progress of students. We've improved and increased our faculty training, and I'm going to go into more detail on this in just a minute. And then a goal is to have a 2-year course schedule posted so that students and advisors can plan a whole 2 years out, and, you know, for obvious reasons, it would be very beneficial. And then obviously for student success is an ultimate goal, and we want to build more of an intentional network of support and stronger relationships between students, between departments, the advising piece, and then we've also had to and will continue to look at all of our policies and procedures. Are they conducive to this new framework, or are we still going to have services that, you know, span the whole 16 weeks when we need to condense things to help those students in those 8-week terms? So moving to the systems and processes, curriculum design. The faculty and all, Danae has set up, she's done a great job as well as your other instructional things at finding people to come in and talk with our faculty about this. Because really, again, it's not shortening courses, it's redesigning your courses to fit that framework. We have connected with the colleges I mentioned, Grayson, other colleges as well besides Grayson have been very supportive and helpful to us as we've asked questions. It's been interesting. I mean, it's been great because most of the time they're quick to tell you what not to do when you start out. So that's been very helpful. So when we're brainstorming things, you know, say, don't go there. We tried that. It didn't work. So let's, you know, go a different way. We have been auditing and revising our program pathways daily, the instructional side of our pathways, of our grant, and she's been a tremendous job doing that. And then we've also more intentionally been trying to align, make sure in our advisory council, advisory committees, that we're asking those questions if our programs are aligning with the workforce needs. For athletics, there's a lot of, we've had to make sure that we are aware of eligibility, you know, because it's going to change the way, you know, sports start and end at different times, and there's different rules regarding how many you have to be in when you start, when you finish. So I think we're aligned and we're well ready to make sure that we're doing what's best for our student athletes there. Their practice schedules, their travel attendance, that's all going to be impacted, so we have to make sure that we're doing what's best for their academics. Under our policies and procedures, the calendar, I believe in our April meeting, you'll see the calendar, you'll get to see the final calendar. It will look a little different. We've had a challenging time on what terminology we should use, because we will still, basically colleges in Texas, you're a semester-based college, so you'll have a 16-week, like fall, you'll hear the term like fall, but regular or 16-week, that will be meaning to expand the entire 16 weeks, obviously, but then we'll have a fall 1 and fall 2 that will refer to your 8-week term, and same for spring. Your drop schedules, we've had to revise those. One lesson that numerous colleges said, you want to make your drop, as far as when a student drops a class is allowed, you want to put that deadline early, because that way it's kind of a wake-up call that they just think about 8 weeks versus 16. They need to get after it and be successful, and we need to intervene with our support as early as possible. So everyone recommends making the last day to drop as early, you know, within reason as you can, so that gives, that's like, hello, you can do this. We're going to help you finish. So that's things we've had to consider. Obviously, your honors roll, all those things we've had to look at. We're still not finished because it's calculated on the number of hours you're in, so that's going to be a little, maybe look a little different at different times. And we want to make sure that students that maybe only take the second 8 weeks don't lose out on opportunity to be on some of our honor rolls or recognized for some things. And obviously, your student support services, again, Cindy's led this area, our orientation. We want to make sure that we're including an orientation if someone wants to start in the second 8 weeks. Our whole leads program, we have to consider students that may only come first or just come second versus the whole time. Developmental education is a challenge, and all colleges are saying this is one area, because these are students that are maybe not ready for college math or college reading or writing, and so they have to take prerequisite courses to support that. How does that look at an 8-week model? So we've learned from other colleges and have been putting some things in place to do things a little differently for that. And obviously, you're revising accommodations. Everything just has to be early on. With the 8-week model, you can't wait to intervene. Students cannot wait to tell you if they're having trouble. You need to do it earlier, you know, than ever before. It's kind of a heightened awareness on our part to make sure we're creating the structure that they can do that, or the faculty know how to get them help, advising, and so forth. And again, interrupt me if I need to clarify, we'll get a question at the end as well. So on the timeline, This timeline really, again, our timeline probably started 5 years ago, or not longer, not earlier. But in 2021, we began gathering input from our faculty and staff, from other colleges. Again, we attended training for faculty, course design, technology, diversity, equity. All those have been part of it. Again, staff training. We've had student support services, ADA accommodations, transformational advising, and financial aid. We'll talk more about that. That is a big component of this, to make sure that we align our financial aid where students are not negatively impacted. And I don't know if Candace isn't on the phone. I don't think she
is. Candace, you're not on the phone, are you?
I am.
Okay, I thought, thank you, Candace. She said, I sure don't want to start answering financial aid questions if you might have those. But kudos, Candace. I laugh, I'm glad she's not here, but Candace, and we've had many discussions, but it's not easy. Y'all know the financial aid world, with all of the regulations and things that they have to do to keep us, our audits right, and keep us, you know, in the legal, if you will. She and her team have done a great job. I know, you know, there's been, she's pulled her hair out lots of times, I'm sure Candace, but it's been, I cannot tell enough of how proud I am of all the work that our whole team has done to think out of the box. There's been, you know, you're asking people to change, a lot of people, it's hard anyway, but this has been a big change, probably more for financial aid than anyone, because we've never done this at all in financial aid. So thank you, Candace, and thank you for being here.
You're welcome, and thank you, too.
And then, so fall registration, we will kick off the 8-week, the majority of 8-week model. And I'll talk more about that in just a minute. In addition, though, what's not on this timeline, we have a marketing campaign. I'm very proud. Cindy and her marketing team, and another thing that I'm so proud of, this is not me, it's not practice, if anything, it's not me at all. The district offices have come together and worked very well together. Do we always agree on? No, but it's been very, I'm looking for a word, I can't find
encouraging.
It.
Encouraging.
Encouraging, and we've learned a lot from this. I mean, Janae put together, I have a lot on her research she did a long time ago on the 8-week model before we even, that has been a tremendous help. But then the marketing team, they are very creative. I don't know if you can see it. It's create your future, and that's eights in there. So that's blasted everywhere on our website. They made T-shirts. What else, Cindy? What else did we? Anyway, so that's going to kind of be the motto. We rolled it out last month, I guess, or the first of this month.
It was 8 weeks before registration opened. Yeah.
And so we're trying to really get the word out to students. She brought you a T-shirt, so you can have it or give it away.
That's,
I thought they were very creative in the way that they're doing that.
Okay.
So that's also been going on. We have student information session scheduled. There's actually in the late March, nearly late March, and in April there will be two face-to-face sessions, one in a day, one at night, I believe, on both the Big Spring and San Angelo campus. There will be two virtual information sessions. I believe Monica wants to release the students to join one of those. And we will have more if needed. We're going to see how those go.
Thank you.
On our website, there's a frequently asked questions pages. You can go there sometime. There's an opportunity for people to submit questions or voice their concerns. We've had one question that was about a certain class that really was not about this. It was really not about this exactly. So, let's see. Also, what's been Dr. Sparks has included the 8-week model as a topic at the student roundtables that she conducts. Obviously, I did not go to all of them. I didn't go to San Angelo, but the ones that I've heard, and she can certainly let you know. I know the Big Spring, they were positive about it, no concerns at all. I believe the virtual one, there was a student that thought that he or she, I can't remember which one it was going to have to take like all 12 hours in the first 8-week session. Said, no, it won't let you do that. That's not what this is about. And so I don't know if you want now or later, but overall, I don't think the students, most of them are already used to taking 8-week courses, you know, and if you've taken summer school, again, over many terms, so I don't think they're concerned. The positives are that they did mention they liked the idea of just focusing on 2 courses at one time and not 5 or however many, 2 or 3. So that's been a positive thing. Financial aid concerns, if I remember right, were raised at 1. Maybe the virtual, I don't remember which one. So we did share with them, don't be concerned, here's how it's going to work. So I think that's been positive. Continuing on the timeline, so spring 23, we're having meetings, we're collaborating. Oh gosh, Lana and Lucy, and I probably should have said too, for our SWID campus, we are not doing this full force right now. It's because of the nature of those courses and the time that they want their, I'm looking back at Dan, he can just chime in, but we're
right there.
They've been in all of our meetings, our lead group, and in learning and going to training, but they thought they just needed to do it a little bit slower and pace it out, see which courses might work first, and then roll that out in SWID. So I'm not leaving them out at all. That's just kind of, they're always in there. It's just that's what we're going to do there. So I think I shared this with you probably a long time. You know, one piece of advice that we have been given that we did not listen to, they said, you don't do this project while you're doing other big initiatives. I think I've told you that. Well, of course, my eyes just got really big, and so we're doing several big initiatives. So we're doing an 8-week model, and we're doing CAMS implementation. We also have Blackboard Ultra that we're converting to. Is that the word? Blackboard Ultra is just the newer version of our Blackboard online
management system.
Learning management system.
Yes,
learning management system. So. Another one I just thought of too.
Navigate
with our Title V grant, all the EAB Navigate resource that we have, that is the advisors, the students' platform for navigating their time at Howard College. There's a lot to that. I won't even start to make up, but there's a lot to that. But what I have seen, I'm not saying that it is a lot, and I'm so proud, but I'm speaking, which probably Eric will shoot me for sure, but seeing how this has worked together, because you can make decisions in CAMS, in Blackboard, and the different things, we've been able to make the decisions before we fully implement those systems. So I wouldn't argue that it's not a lot, but I would say that maybe there's a benefit that we have done this at the same time, so we're able to, again, design things the way we want it for our 8-week model. That then again, Eric, that's what I've seen, not having to do all the behind the scenes work. But it just seems like the decisions are made all together as opposed to having them to go back and reinvent one system when you've already created the other. On the timeline, sorry, I keep kind of getting off. Again, we have an 8-week implementation team. They meet every Friday morning. They're doing wonderful. I want to name Cindy, Lana Hubbard, and they may be on the call too, because I said anybody that can, please help me. Lucy Capehart, Candace is on, Linda Richardson, our registrar, Danny Campbell and Jeff Anderson from SWID have been there, and Pam and I listen and help as much as we can. Right? I'm proud, very proud to see how they have come together to do this. And so, success indicators, obviously you're in your last slide. What will we be looking at? Well, obviously we're going to be looking at time to completion. We'll be evaluating grades, their completion and their college level courses. Now, obviously it's a developmental piece working with that. Persistence, obviously graduate. And we always look at these things, but we will be monitoring very closely graduation, retention, and then obviously student satisfaction on the success piece. And then the implementation and evaluation of how our tools and resources are working. And other tools, an example, Tennille, Cindy, and group, I'm giving y'all credit, but there's other people too. We revised created an application that's our own that I think is going to be very helpful and user-friendly. That will, it's simplistic. It's more user-friendly than maybe the Apply Texas is. That's just one example of things that we're going to be monitoring. On your challenges, obviously, limited number of faculty. What I mean by that is we're not a big, we don't have a huge part-time resource of faculty that you can pull in to teach multiple modalities at one time. So we have to take our core full-time faculty and develop a schedule based on those numbers. Faculty buy-in. In the beginning, especially for those that have never taught a summer school course at all or any shortened format, we had to really visit and get everybody on board. Again, I mentioned athletic eligibility. Financial aid was one of a big challenge. And again, Candace has done a tremendous job to make sure that's in place. Resistance to change. I mean, I've done this for 30 years. It's hard. Change, it is hard to do things differently, especially when we think it's not broken, don't fix it type of mentality, but we know we need to do better. And then dual credit. I think that's been interesting to me is at first we thought, well, we'll never, they go all semester long. We're actually getting more schools telling us they want this because that way they have a student can take two courses in a semester at a school, but also it might free them up to take one course the first 8 weeks, and then they're baseball or something the second 8 weeks. That frees them up not to have as many interferences or activities and distractions there. So, but our accomplishments, again, our faculty training, Janae along with our instructional deans have structured that, been more intentional about what we're training on. I think it's great. Implementation of the technology resources, staff and faculty buy-in has come a long way. Our network with other colleges that we've developed, and then we do have the enrollment navigator positions we created, I guess, last year. That has helped also be able to put us in a position to make this successful, to help this be successful with students. And so, with that, I know it's a lot and I kind of jumped all over the page, but that's where we are. We're excited. Will there be things we find that we should have done different? Yes, and we will, we'll reevaluate as we go along. There will be bumps in the road that we find, but overall, I'm optimistically positive that this is going to be good for Howard College, for our students, for just moving ahead with some of the things that y'all, as the board members know, that we've been trying to improve for a long time, and I think this is going to be a tool to help us do that. What did I leave out? I'm sure there's lots.
I think that pretty much. So if it's like, and just so I can wrap my hand around this, so if it was used to be a 16-hour course and they went once a week, now they're going like twice a week for 8 weeks?
That's a good question. Possibly, or I need to do the simple answer. There's contact, the contact hours are still the same, like, English 1301 is still 48 contact hours with the coordinating board, so we have to make sure we keep that 48 contact hours, okay? And which is a contact hour is 15 minutes. So we have it down to I'm going to have my little formula, I didn't bring it, where you calculate the number of, if it's a face-to-face class, the number of minutes that have to be in that class. So within that week, and Janae, this is where an hour and a half, is it 2 days a week?
Yeah.
If a class chooses to meet in like a hybrid format, they're probably going to meet 2 days a week in person, like Monday, Wednesday, or Tuesday, Thursday. The other, that if you do the math, that doesn't calculate up to the number of hours, so the rest of that would be online, and that's for the hybrid courses.
Okay.
Hybrid. Some courses will still meet every day for an hour and a half, right?
Some are meeting every day for they'll meet, instead of meeting 2 days a week, they'll meet 4 days a week.
Right.
Yeah. And some are meeting double the time, 2 days a week, and some are meeting hybrid.
Right. That's a great question because I can't tell you, if we ever disagree, we don't disagree. We get, everyone gets along. We're very much professional. But developing that schedule, so I'm able to take, I need 1301 this term, 1302 that, but I also need to make sure I get my biology and my labs. Or it's been a challenge, you know. So it's been Lena and Lucy, Janae, your division directors have been working with faculty to develop the schedule. And we will register starting April 26th in CAMS and have the schedule actually out there. Is it posted? When will it be posted? I can't remember. Soon, very soon. When I say posted, at least the students can see it. Advisors can work with their students. That's what they're working to get that out. It's like ASAP. That's where we are. That answer too much, Bob.
Can I ask a question? And then you said you've checked with other colleges. Has any college ever found that this has flopped and then gone back to the other place?
I have not.
I haven't found any college that said that it completes. The most that I found was that the evidence of success is less apparent in the second 8 weeks than the first 8 weeks, but not that there wasn't evidence of improvement. It was just less apparent in the second 8 weeks. So I haven't found any colleges that were like, no, no, we're going back.
I haven't heard of going back. They have found calculus. I guess your upper level advanced math, especially engineering, physics, those type of things, they have I don't even know if people ones that have tried it actually, or if they did, we heard anyway. So we're like, is it calculus 1 and 2? I don't know. We're keeping those at 6 that. Of course, there's not many students in that, but that's an example of one that they don't do it, you know. And it's been hard. I mean, it has been hard. It's like, and I should have brought more examples, but faculty, as faculty have expressed, you know, real genuine concern about their learning, we have paired them with someone that has done this in a shortened format. We have reached out to other colleges and said, how did this work? And for the most part, I've heard, you know, positive impacts. It's kind of like, not trust us, but it's just like, it has worked, you know. And it's redesigned, you can use better professional terms than I can, but what opened my eyes too was, you're not looking, yes, it's a shorter time period, but it's really helping faculty focus in on teaching the most important elements, and students it's shorter, so they're able to learn, you know, memorize memory too. Some courses are, they can memorize things better because they're not doing so much. It's just a quicker pace. I don't know, Cindy, if you want to add anything you've heard.
Another question. So some of the programs are still in 16-week courses, right, or no? So can a student take a 16-week and an 8-week at the same time?
Yes.
Okay.
But for the most part, it depends on what they like. Nursing's all 8 weeks, though, I think.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So, I mean, like, I'm trying to think of an example of that. You have to design your schedule. In other words, when I talked about limited number of faculty, we don't have enough faculty to be able to offer this whole selection of courses in a 16-week format and also in an 8-week format. So you had to strategically plan that a student could take what they need for whatever program they're in. And if anyone's on the line or help me out on the programs, Candace,
like,
you tell
me. Hygiene is one that stays
16-week, okay.
But they can they could be in classes, in 8-week classes, or on the academic side at the same time they're taking the dental hygiene class.
That's what I was wondering, because if they were taking like a 1301, but then like a dental hygiene class, one would be 8 weeks, one would be 16 weeks, right? Or no?
Yes.
Okay.
They can do that. Probably, though, if I find that dental hygiene student, it's going to be online, my 8-week one.
Okay.
And because the nature of my dental hygiene program, yeah, so they may need to take support courses in the 8-week format while they're in a program.
Yeah.
So that's the lead class, 16 weeks?
Our leads orientate, our leads, our first-year experience, obviously, that's, we want them to expand the whole time because they're meeting with those students to help them be successful in their classes, and more than ever, they need to make sure that we're supporting them throughout this entire semester. what else? And I don't know, Pam, jump in too. Is there...
It's all about what works for that student.
Right.
So that advisor-student meeting is the critical piece of that. So if you, you know, you're a working mom and you've got, you know, two kids at home, we're not going to put you in super hard classes, you know, all semester. We're going to work that out and balance it out for you. So, so much about that conversation with the advisor. You have to make sure the schedule fits your lifestyle.
That experience, if you want to chime in anything that I've any further questions or sure we will run. We'll be reporting on outcomes on things as we progress along. But again, I'm excited and I just am proud of how our college has come together and the leader, I mean everybody stepped up to really get out of their comfort zone and to make this happen. So exciting.
Yeah. And thank you, Amy, for taking leadership and everybody on that team. It has not been taken lightly. It has been a very involved process, and you can tell, hopefully, there's a lot of research that's gone into it. And why in the world did we get interested in it in the first place? It's because of the fact that we were seeing these other colleges having such gains in student success, completion, and that's really what it's about, is the student success. The fact that the Commission on Community College Finance has come along at the same time and the way that our funding is going to be flip-flopping on us, and it's going to be based on basically outcomes. So how are students progressing, and are they completing, and all those kinds of things. And so the timing of it could be hopefully perfect in that it will help us align to what we're going to need to be doing. Our focus is totally different. We're having to think differently, and it's, you know, in many instances, we've always thought in terms of we got to get our student numbers up, enrollment. And that's still important, but what's most important now is how are the students doing in their progression through their academic journey. And so, you know, in a way, the health professions have been doing this to some degree, and the success of health professions, people being able to complete and move along, again, hasn't been exactly the same, but there's some similarity. And so I'm very hopeful that we're going to have the same kind of success that other colleges have had. We anticipate that.
And Candace, I don't know if anyone on the line wants to add anything. I'll put you on the spot, but to ask them to be here. Okay, well, thank you.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Texas Test Center.
All right. Actually, Amy, on the Talent Strong Texas Pathways, do you want to just go
sure,
and address
that
some?
Bring a copy of that letter. Sorry.
Here you go.
Okay. So the Success Center, this is kind of the next cycle, if you will, of the Pathways grant through the Texas Success Center. And so we had to apply. I'm not sure that they would have denied our application, but we did apply and are accepted. So it will start again. They have a Pathways Institute in the fall and spring, and I'm assuming this will be another three year cycle.
So
and we each one is a little different focus, and we try to send a core team so they can be at every one. But then we try to bring in, if it's like our adult education literacy program, that's part of the Pathways model. We'll make sure that if that's a topic of discussion, that they go on that particular one. Advising, obviously your faculty have been very involved in this. So we're excited. We'll attend the first one in a few weeks, April. And we have a team ready to do that. And this is not one of those, you know, some conferences, not that I shouldn't get this, but some conferences you go to, and it's like, well, I really didn't, you know, learn a lot. This is, it's all, you are involved as a team, it's hands-on. Of course, it's just your Texas, you know, colleges, and so everything is designed. It relates to you. You get to network. This is, I mean, it's one of the better, you know, conferences, if you will, training, I guess, I've been to in my years here. So it's exciting, and again, the grant through the Success Center pays for seven. You know, you don't want huge teams to go because there's a lot of work, and if you get too many people, then it's hard, you know, to get a lot accomplished. But it's good work, and this is where we learn a lot of the research and, again, the other colleges to work with. So thank you and for letting us see this, and here we go, starting another journey.
And I would add to that, there's really almost this entire Texas model that's been being put in place through the Texas Success Center with these pathways that we've been working on, trying to make sure that we are reducing the number of hours that students do not need to take for their academic journey, and at the same time keeping them on a path so they can graduate and get to work, and they're not losing money. And so the other thing that the pathways do, it helps us align better with business industry. And that's something that Texas, with our Texas Talent Strong plan, there's a great emphasis on making sure that what we are doing in institutions of learning, and that's starting at secondary level to the post-secondary, that it's meaningful and that students are going to be learning the skills that they need to be able to go into the workplace. So, it's a big old picture, and it's been evolving over several years. The pathways, again, we've been doing this for a while. We just keep looking at different aspects of it. Texas is leading the country in some of this work, and we have a lot of the national funders that are supporting Texas and the Texas Success Center because of the efforts. And you're seeing also a lot of the Texas schools are being recognized at the national level for what is happening with student success. So we're trying to do our part to move a small college along so that we can have the same kind of student success for our students.
An example, maybe 2 years ago, at the Success Center, then the good work they're doing, they're bringing the colleges together, and not just at the Pathways Conference. We started having, just from my role as Chief Academic Officer, 2 or 3 years now, time flies, Success Center has organized a quarterly meeting of the academic officers. And that has not happened. I mean, we always had a conference to go to, but there was no pressure to go to that conference, and sometimes it wasn't. But this is a meeting that we talk, that they hear us, we listen, they bring people from business industry, they brought public school, you know, officials to help us see where we might not be catching, you know, the school pathways. And so it's been a great, that's how they brought the state together. And I think that's how we're able to even excel, because you're forcing us to do, to listen and hear, and well, why wouldn't you try this, you know?
Right. When you see the results, it's hard not to pay attention. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much. Our next item is community workshop development.
Okay. Just real quick, we had two of the trustees that attended the Howard County Summit and felt like that it was a very successful day. As you know, it was held on Tuesday, February the 28th, and it was more interactive than the one last year. The goals were a little different this year as far as what the Economic Development Corporation wanted to achieve, and that was what kinds of activity do we need to be paying attention to at the legislative level so that we can support each other and what is happening for different entities. And so we spent time discussing that. We, of course, brought forward what was going on with the commission. And so it was a successful day. Adrian, you're on the line. Would there be anything you would want to say?
No, I mean, I thought it was productive. I thought it was better than last year. I think last year was – I mean, what the last year was the first one, was it not?
It was.
Okay, so I think we took – well, I say we. I think the ones that were in charge kind of took some notes on what worked and what didn't work last year, and this one was way more efficient in the sense that everyone was allotted a certain amount of time, which they were last year as well. But also, I think that helped put perspective into what, I guess, points and bullets that each entity really wanted to make sure that the other representatives there, what they wanted them to know about their certain entity and what they could need help with. I thought it was good. I liked the idea of this, air quote, leaders of the town coming together and even asking Howard College if we would like to be a part of certain things and giving us the opportunity to respond in certain situations towards business and what we could do to help them. I thought it was pretty cool. So I enjoyed it this year.
Very good. Thank you, Adrian. Appreciate you. All right.
Yes, sir.
Next item on the agenda is performance excellence.
All right. As you know, we are required to bring forward to you on a semester basis the small class report. This is as a part of the coordinating board rules. And so this represents the spring small class enrollment. We'll answer any questions you might have. I'd make this point, too, that I think that it's possible with this change in our format with 8 weeks. This may change up a little bit.
I think so.
And so it'll be interesting to see what the reports look like next time.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Moving to purchasing.
Okay. The RFP, you will remember last month you gave me the authority in working with our group to come up with what we would do in the area of the audiovisual upgrades for the distance learning rooms across the district. And as you know, we're out on an RFP for that, and the way that that is going to be funded is with the federal funds. And we have to have that completed by the end of June. So it's been out on RFP. We did get 4 responses, and the group, as we do on any RFP, we have a group that reviews the RFPs and then makes a recommendation. Sometimes, though, they move into asking questions of the vendor and that kind of thing. And so we're still in that process. It's a very involved process. And Eric, do you want to say anything about, I know y'all have got some questions out right now.
We had some questions for a couple vendors, and we talked to them, and they're reworking their proposal and sending it back to us so that we could have the correct budget numbers to compare to finalize the scoring sheets. And so they're supposed to, one of them I saw had submitted it already, so we're still waiting for one. So once we get that, we're going to get the group back together, fill out the scoring sheets, and then we should have a recommendation, you know, really clear.
So we're still working off of that authority, but we just wanted to give you an update on where we are. I anticipate we might be able to come up with something final this week, possibly.
I think so.
And because we want to keep this moving along, because we need to get the money expended by the end of June. That's the goal. And we also need these classrooms updated. So, okay. Bring it back in April with an update.
All right. Resolution authorizing auction of Hart County Trustees' property.
All right. As you know, we've got some properties that need to be relinquished as a part of what we do as a taxing entities in the city, and these are the items that have been brought forward for your approval today.
They need to be auctioned off.
Mm-hmm.
I need a bid. Sorry. Need a motion to approve this, please. I have a motion. Have a second. I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, moving on to handbook changes. There's none.
Yep.
Okay, Terry, you're up. Library and music building preservation. Lucky devil, you.
I think you've seen the reports. Both projects are coming along. We are experiencing some material delays that are going to postpone or may extend the completion dates. On the particularly right now, we're dealing with that on the library. The construction supervisor this morning told me, he said the way things are going on some of the library materials, he said we may finish the music building first. So, because that project's going very well. And so, for example, one of the things on the library project, one of the carpets that we selected is no longer available. So we're going to have to pick an alternate carpet. So there's just been several things. Light fixtures are long lead time, and that's for the library. The HVAC units in the music building were a long lead time item, but they've been received, and the contractor is going to be installing the ductwork and the units. I wouldn't be surprised to see that start this week. So once that's done, the interior finishes in the music building can begin. They've already started painting. I think if you looked at the book, the painting has already started in the library. But there's just some long lead times, material delays that they're just out of our control. So, is there any questions?
Amazing. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate you. Food and Service Kitchen update.
All right, Fabian will give just a quick rundown of the kitchen updates that have happened.
All the equipment has been installed, and everything with the exception of the griddle, the 60-inch griddle, has been fired up. The issue with the griddle, there's a special gas line that is purchased for that. You can kind of see that blue line behind the 36-inch range. Anyway, that's a special gas line that we had to order for both the range and the griddle. But when we received the gas line for the griddle, it was missing a swivel coupler. So that way, basically what the swivel does is whenever the staff in the kitchen need to move an appliance, it has that range of motion, and it's not just stuck to the equipment. You can't move it. So anyway, we're missing that. It was ordered on Friday and should be delivered sometime this week. We'll be able to fire everything up. But other than that, everything's rocking and rolling. Kitchen staff is very, very happy and grateful that we purchased all of that equipment here. So.
And this is both the Big Spring and Swiss campus.
Yeah. Super. Okay,
thank you.
All right.
All right, Eric and Amy and Brian, y'all, somebody want to be the one to come forward, or all three of you? Student information system project.
Still doing data passes. I know there's state report reviews going on, so they're starting to run. Brian worked with Tracy on setting up some of the state reporting coding so that we can start running reports and comparing. I know I saw that they, I missed the one the meeting this morning because I was driving here. But, but I thought we have some meetings scheduled this week to run reports and compare, and then we're getting ready for registration and starting to create roles in the system so we can start creating user accounts and get them. Right now, we've just kind of been using like an administrative login for everyone, so they can kind of everyone can kind of see how the system works. So start creating specific roles for everyone so that they kind of go back, kind of whittle the options down to the roles and user functions that meet their job duties and titles. Having to ask for the necessary.
The only news that from the meeting this morning, too, good, we're making progress on our Navigate system, EAB talking to CAMS, so that we weren't sure about that for a while, but I think that's going to be a positive thing that picked up on that, so that's going to be a good thing. And then he just mentioned it's time. I mean, we're going to start testing on for registration, and here we go.
A lot of multiple projects at one time of, the registrar working with getting the courses ready for fall. We've done some trainings with the advisors on how to be able to register students, how to use the portal. The state reporting is a big key factor, so we've been working on getting those things implemented so we can start seeing where those reports come in from. Just, again, relating to what we're used to what we're now using and making sure everything connects. So it's been a lot of, I think, degree audit has been another big key one that we've been focusing on here recently so we can then tie in all the different aspects and be able to go live for registration coming for the fall.
Okay. Great. Thank you. All right. You going to take us to the end, Mr. President?
Yes, I will. All right. Upcoming activities, you got your calendar. We are in the season. Lots going on right now in sports. You can see all kinds of things on your calendar relative to that. Ben, you asked me a few minutes ago about ESPN and for baseball, softball, and we've just been getting text from Coach Cooper that they are beginning to want to do some softball and baseball games. So we will be working on that, get back to you on that. Foundation meetings, the Big Spring Foundation meeting will be on April the 6th. We should have on here, April the 3rd will be the SWID one. And so we will have those foundation meetings happening this next week. We have the Howard College Rodeo is the 13th through the 15th, and this is the one time that we have all of our students local and that you can watch them in their performances. And so that will, again, be the 13th, 14th, and 15th. Now, we will have a barbecue. Actually, it's going to be a dinner at 5 o'clock at the cafeteria, meet the rodeo team, and then we'll have the events Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. You can see there's lots going on when you look at the calendar. It's a busy athletic weekend. Tuesday the 11th, April the 11th. Yeah, Tuesday the 11th. Okay, the 18th, you had invitations at your table. We have the Evening of Excellence at the award ceremony for the Big Spring campus. It will be at 6:30. So that's Tuesday the 18th. Lots of, between now and your next board meeting, which is April the 24th, we have a lot of those activities that are going on that I've already mentioned. After the 24th, there will be some theater, music recital is pending a reschedule. We'll let you know about that. And after your next board meeting, we move right into finals. Finals will start that week, and then We have the very next week, then we have the graduation. So we shared all that so you could start putting it on your calendar. We'll have the pinnings, the 11th, Thursday the 11th, May 11th is San Angelo Day. We have all of our pinnings, our graduation. And then on Friday, we will have SWID in the morning, awards convocation and graduation. And then we move into the pinnings that afternoon for the Big Spring Lanisa campus and graduation that evening. So we'll continue to update this, but that gives you an idea of what you've got as far as your activities. Recognitions have several things that I would like to share about our students. Starting first, our theater department, we have two sets of good news. We at the state festival, we had, as far as our results, we had an overall bronze rating, and audience and professor's choice went to Joshua Menifee. Respondent's choice went to acting Maddie Armstrong and Jonathan Cassanon. Respondent's choice for technical, Emily Young, who also got second overall in technical presentation. And then technical presentation, hair and makeup superior, went to Emory Young. To follow that, we also participated in Region 6 competition, and all for the Terra Nova was the performance. We ended up, and that stands for the Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival Region 6. And so for regional production, meritorious achievements, we got excellence in project design, Addison Smith and April Lanninghing, our instructor. Excellence in makeup design, Emory Young. Excellence in costume design, our instructor and Maddie Armstrong. Excellence in fight choreography, Corey Lawson. Excellence in acting went to Neil Connell for the role of Scott. The Irene Ryan acting scholarship competition, we had a scholarship nominee, Mia Martinez, for the role of Bowers, and Zach Sawyer for the role of Edmondson. So they did, those students did a great job in those competitions, so we're proud of them. We're also very proud of two of our students from our San Angelo campus who have been recognized by Phi Theta Kappa. One, Rachel Deller, has been selected a 2023 New Century Workforce Pathway Scholar, and that is a very prestigious group of students that are finally recognized for that. There's 2,400 applications, and she received the highest score for the state of Texas. So she is going to be recognized, and actually, for the ACCT Congress in October, those students that are representing the various states are recognized at that. So your annual conference will have the opportunity to see those students, and our student will be one of the ones recognized. We also had Haley Loden, who's been selected as a 2023 Coca-Cola Academic Team Silver Scholar. And again, this is a part of this same group. It is not the level that Rachel received, but it is still considered to be at the top of the list of the states that participate in the All-State Academic Team recognitions. So we're very proud of both of these students. All right. We also have several students who have done really well with all conference selections. We have both men's and women's. Showing you the men's here. We have Lorenzo Fort Trey, as well as several others that made the All-Region team. We'll share some more of those later. And then we also had five Hawks that were selected for the JUCO recruiting top 100 back in January. And those were Trey Fort, Kiwa Agua, Tavion McLean, Dean Meyer, and Dante Horney. And those students received, again, top 100, so we're very proud of them. Okay. We also are very pleased to share that Howard College has been honored with the recognition of an outstanding service award for our claims relative to safety. And as a part of that, we also get a scholarship in the amount of $500 that can be awarded to a student for, it, again, according to our choice, how we want to do that. And so, again, this relates to our Claims Administrative Services. This relates to our safety level and how we have had a true example of an outstanding district as far as how we do with safety, our dedication to safety. The selection is based on our district safety performance and participation in the Texas Educational Insurance Association Workers' Comp Program. And your safe work environment allows for fewer on-the-job employee injuries, and thus protecting your greatest asset, your employee, as well as reducing your workers' compensation cost. And so that can be attributed to Fabian and group and also to Rhonda, who keeps on top of all those workers' comp claims. And so we have a plaque that we want to have Chairman Freeman, if you will, if you need to take a picture. They want a picture of this, and I thought it would be appropriate for Fabian and Rhonda to be a part of that picture. Yeah. And so y'all come forward, and let's get a picture. You want to go down there, John?
Yeah.
Okay. Or they can come up here, however you want to do it. Congratulations, y'all. For exemplary safety practices, it says Howard College is presented with the prestigious Billy Hibbs Safety Award for exemplary safety practices resulting in the lowest loss ratio for 2021-2022 for Claims Administrative Services. So, way to go. Very proud of everybody. They worked really hard to do that. Okay, that's all the recognitions that we have today. Moving on to legislative and general updates. All right, well, it's March the 27th, and we are still waiting on our funding amount so that we can have an idea of what that's going to look like. But what is happening? House Bill 8 is moving right along. In fact, there is a good chance that it will be on the floor of the House either this week or next week. So a lot of support for House Bill 8, which is, again, the Community College Finance Bill. What is happening is that is moving through the legislature. There is a companion on the Senate side. And so after the House finishes its work, then the Senate will begin. But the coordinating board is still working on putting together the numbers. This is a very complex process. We're talking about a formula that's been around for 50 years. And so it's taking a lot of time and effort. Everybody's working as fast as they can. They conducted a survey that was needed. We had to return about 10 days ago now. And now they're taking that information, they're applying that. There's going to be a second round of survey, but it probably will not go out in this session. That's what we found out last week. It's probably going to be later. And so things are moving they're moving quickly but slowly. And so I think we'll be having something based on the last meeting that we had last week. We should probably, this week, the coordinating board will probably release some information that the executive committee of TAC is going to be able to look at. Then we're going to be able to ask any questions, pose any concerns that we have about anything, and then we will likely, as institutions, start seeing the numbers the next week. That's the best guess that we've got going right now. And that is, again, aligning with how the bill is moving through. So there is a lot of support for House Bill 8. So much support and so much anticipation that everything is going to work and it's going to happen, the coordinating board has put together what they call the Finance Advisory Committee. And that is going to be made up of, there's some CEOs, but there are also mainly going to be some, the CFOs that are going to be a part of this group. And they're going to start meeting with the coordinating board people soon to start working on what some of the kinks might be in the formula that is being completed, and as we get out of the session and we're moving into the next year, finding out what the issues are. Our Brenda has been selected. She's one of the ones that is going to be on the Community College Finance Advisory Committee, and so she will start working with some others. Again, we got a star. She won't say that, but she is a star. And so they will start working on this, and we'll start, you know, finding out how we can improve the legislation. After it's finished, they're going to start finding out what the problems are with it and start working on working out the kinks. The good thing about the way this legislation is moving and the way that the Finance Committee presented it to the legislature was that the commissioner would have the authority and the ability to keep working on things after the session as we move into rulemaking so that there can be adjustments for things that are problematic. So it is going to be a very influential group of people working on it. So we're very excited that Howard College, and we do believe that we are selected as one of the small colleges, and that's going to be the role that we'll be playing. There's another role, a small college on there, but we think that that's part of our role, and so we look forward to being able to do that. Okay, that would be, again, the bill. As House Bill 8, the way that it was introduced, there's already a committee substitute. They're still working on working out the kinks. Once it gets on the floor, there'll be some other changes, and, of course, then it's following the same pattern on the Senate side. So more next month. Hopefully we'll have more on money, and I will let you know when we get something back. That is all that I have today.
Okay. Any board member, anything else you have to say? Questions from any of the board members or for our attendees? Anything else to go? Okay. By authority granted by the governor, this meeting is adjourned.
I'd like a T-shirt with the board members holding their shirts up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Board members, did you hear that? Yeah, y'all, Roger wants to get a You want them lined up?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. If y'all will line up with me first. Let me move. Today. All right, Adrian, we'll get you your two. If you've hung up, you're muted. Or if you're on, you're muted.
I'll be long gone.
Yeah. All right. We're hanging up. Thank you.
We're sorry. Your conference is ending now. Please hang up.